a man who slows down time and slows down the pace of baseball. We do it every weekend as we look through the window of baseball for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and, of course, the great folks over there at Marvin Windows, Mark Pearsall and Mike Garrison, Josh Swift, and everyone else. Welcome back for this season. But the man who makes it all happen, he's from the Chronicle. He's Mr. Baseball, that I like to call him, and that's Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, great, Marty. It's great to be back on you with you for another season.
Yeah, it's terrific, and you know, they call me Mr. Baseball, but boy, I'll tell you, Bruce, you have the feel for the game, and being down here this week and just sitting out here, and I see you in the stands. What do you sort of feel like when you sit out there and look out at the ballpark?
Well, first of all, for me, sitting down there makes all the difference. I mean, the press boxes aren't terribly far from the field because all these parks are so compact, but, you know, if the windows are closed and people are talking about other things, and it's just, when you're down there, you know, pretty much right down there with the scouts right behind home plate, if you can find a seat, all of a sudden it's like you're in the game. You're hearing it, you're feeling it, and you pick up on things that just might escape you if you're up in the box. And, you know, I'm not looking at my phone. I'm just trying to really take it all in.
That's a great. Now, that's the issue to life, not looking at your phone. If we can just get people to look ahead and not look at their phones.
Yeah.
I think it's a tremendous advantage. Hey, you were there. I assume you were there when Pence got hit the other day, and it was one of those. Boy, we've seen it a million times throughout the history of baseball. And you hear that crack, and you see him walk down, and the trainer comes out, and then take the right turn into the clubhouse. It didn't look good.
No, you know, when he went down, and he kind of stayed down for a bit, and you know, this guy's. Well, he's obviously not indestructible, but he rarely misses a game. He's just a beast of a physical specimen. When he stayed down, I knew it was bad, and then when he took his pace, but when he came out, I'm figuring out this can't be good, and it's a tough one for the Giants. You know, the fact that the season starts on April 5th, which is a little bit late, quite a bit later than last year, all because of Sunday night television, unfortunately, but that's going to help the Giants. I mean, if they opened on, you know, March 28th, he'd be missing more games. But he's calling it a blessing. I'm not sure what that quite means from his standpoint. But for the team, it's going to be interesting. They're going to get a look at Maxwell and maybe Williamson, Carbonell, some of these guys, and probably a bigger and longer look than they have normally. So that could work out in an interesting way.
You know, Bruce, for folks who are going to see the game on TV today, you're going to see a clock in center field that goes about 2 minutes, 30 seconds in between innings and also pitching changes and things like that. What's your take on the clock? Do you notice it? Is it part of anything that you feel here?
Well, I noticed it the first day because it was, you know, once you see it, you go, what the heck is that? And you know, it has nothing to do with the actual play. It's just, regular season televised games, the time between innings is supposed to be 2 minutes and 25 seconds, and it's violated quite a bit. I mean, you might go up to 4 minutes sometimes, and you know, you've got the kiss cam and all this other stuff, and they're trying to enforce. And not that I'm terribly against the kiss cam, my daughter thinks it's hysterical, but you know it's 2:25, and let's make it 2:25 and keep it at 2:25. So it starts counting down as soon as the half inning is over, and the umpire that first day, Mike Everett, he stepped right out in front of the plate, and he's monitoring the warm up pitches of the guy, and then, you know, telling him where he's at with the clock, and it doesn't bother me at all. It's very unobtrusive, and it keeps things moving. It's going to cut a few minutes off the game. What we don't need is a pitch clock. That's what we, you know, where pitchers have to throw within a certain amount of time. That would be absolutely inexcusable.
No, that can't happen. How about the umpire getting hit the other day, and Jim Joyce ended up calling balls and strikes behind the mound? How about that? It was Bill Klemback and Hank O'Day. I don't know. Did they bring them back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that was a highly unusual game. But, you know, you never know what you're going to see in spring, and once again, we saw it there.
Isn't that funny? Bruce Jenkins with us, of course, as we look through the window of baseball. What's your take on the Giants? Now, of course, it's the first week, and you and I have been together all week. Bumgarner gets lit up. Lincecum's spiking balls in the dirt. Peavy is pitching batting practice. Vogelsong gives up a grand slam after Jim Joyce is behind him. I think it unnerved Vogelsong. And then Petit yesterday pitched extremely well, and here we are with Bumgarner again. What's your take a little bit on the ball club?
Well, I like the club. They didn't do a whole lot in the off season, but you know, when you've won 3 out of 5, you can trust your people, trust your philosophy. I mean, you know, the first outing for any pitcher, he's on a real mound in a real game for the first time. He's just trying to throw strikes. That's basically what he wants to do. He doesn't want to walk the ballpark. He's throwing mostly fastballs. And you know, the ace hitters were very impressive against Bumgarner, I thought. That's what stands out the most to me when a guy's not having a good outing. Was not so much Bumgarner, but that the ace hitters looked really, really good, just one guy after another. But in general, I mean, I think there's some cause for concern about the rotation. I mean, it'd have to be, you know. Bumgarner's going to be fine. Kane's coming off the injury, and Lincecum, who knows? You know, Vogelsong, who knows? And Hudson's, you know, guy coming back from the ankle, so the surgery. So there's a lot of question marks. I'm sort of conditioned to believing in what the Giants do. I like the lineup, top to bottom. And when Pence comes back, especially, I know there's nobody in that lineup that to me is like, well, we got to get him out of there somehow. So the Dodgers aren't going to win 98 games on my score sheet. I've got it going right down to the wire with those two.
Yeah, I think so. I'll be interested to see the Padres today. I said earlier before he came on, Derek Norris is behind the plate today. I'd run on him today. I'd see what he can do, see what his times are, how he throws the ball, because Kansas City ran him crazy last year in that last playoff game. But this is going to be part of, you know, Giant baseball against the Padres, and, you know, maybe you can run on him. I'm anxious to see Aoki in the leadoff spot. Bruce, I'll tell you, you've been around all week long. The one little bit of intrigue, I think, is what the lineup could look like with Pence out, and we have Pagan hitting in the 3 spot today and Aoki leading off. I think we may see more of that.
Yeah, probably so. I think Aoki could very well fit in that leadoff spot. He's a real slashy line drive hitter. He can take you down the line the opposite way or dead pull you. And he's got, you know, he hit one homer, I think, last year. He's got some power. He's not powerless by any means. An interesting guy. Pretty smart hitter. I think the fans are gonna like him. So, you know, Pagan in the 3rd spot, I just hope that with Pence out and Pagan hitting 3rd, he doesn't get a little too much power conscious, because he does have power, you know, but he's a line drive hitter by nature. And I hope he doesn't start thinking that he maybe needs to jack him out, because that could screw up his head or not. I mean, we'll see. But he's certainly, he's coming back from a long layoff, and he wants to impress people. And you know, I just hope he doesn't try too hard.
I know, and it's so early. It's just March 7th. Yeah. And as you say, April 6th, at least it gets underway April 5th, of course, with ESPN on TV. But, you know, I was talking to someone today. I was talking to Orlando Cepeda last night. And he was saying, you know, in spring training, they would show up like the beginning of March, and the season would open April 15th. He said he did 14 home runs in spring training. And by the end of spring training, they'd play all 9. And the pitchers would go 9. Boy, it's not that way now. The end spring training, it's 6 innings for the pitchers at most, and the position players do never play 9.
No, they never do. I know. I can see, as far as the latter point, I can definitely see getting as many guys in there as you can. I mean, if you're Bruce Bochy, you want to see Daniel Carbonell again after he hit that ball out. You want to give Williamson a look. You want to look at your bench and see how that's going to go, and that's just part of the deal. I think it's great. It's really tough if you're trying to keep an accurate score sheet, especially if they don't straight up, you know, replace the guys with the double switches. And oh my God, your score sheet looks like a complete disaster. But the pitchers, I think they might be babied a little too much. I mean, the Dodgers have a kid, Julio Urias, who they really like, a left-handed pitcher coming up, and you know he's been coming out of the 2nd inning of all his minor league games, and he did so yesterday. And it just, you know, let's give him a little longer look here. I'm sure he's probably been throwing, getting ready for this big trial, and he's in and out of there before you know it.
Boy, did you see Kyle Crick yesterday? I don't know if you were at the Texas Giant game.
No, I was not at that game. I wish I had. I heard he looked pretty good. What'd you think?
Yeah, very much so. Very much under control. And the guy's got electric stuff. And of all the pitchers they have in the minor leagues, this is the one guy who, when he throws the ball, you say, wow, You know, you want to see it again. And he actually put it together yesterday and threw the ball very well. So that's a positive sign. And that's one of those spring training moments, you know, the Clint Hartung, Randy Elliott moments to see someone come out and actually look like they can get something done. So I'm waiting for that moment, you know that?
Yeah. Well, it probably hasn't happened yet. Although, I mean, the Giants really need one of these kids to be the very obvious next in line. The kind of guy we saw with Kane when he was just on the verge. We saw that from Lincecum and Bumgarner. You just have a sense that, you know, this draft pick is for real, you know, and he's going to be that guy. The Giants need somebody like that because there's a lot of vulnerability in that rotation.
Yeah.
And maybe not this year, but probably next year for sure, they're going to need one of their young pitchers to step up. So
how'd you like seeing the Cubs the other day? How'd you like seeing the Cubs? They look pretty impressive, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching them as much as I can all season. I mean, Addison Russell, I really like the shortstop. Soler and Chris Bryant is said to be the number one prospect in the game. Lester's over there now. Joe Maddon, just a tremendous manager with a lot of character and good humor. And that's going to be a very fun team.
Yeah, it's going to be a good story. One last thought for you. The A's have a pitcher who he's ambidextrous. And we got to see him. What did you think of that?
It was mind-blowing. It really was. And I was down low. We're right up against the screen almost. And, you know, he retires a right-handed hitter on a gets in the ground out to end an inning. And then Belt leads off the next inning, and he's throwing lefty. I think a lot of people thought the new guy was in there.
I did. I didn't realize it was the same guy.
Yeah. And you know, he doesn't throw that hard, but he's got a pretty hard-breaking curveball and slider. Very tough. He got Belt looking on one of them. I mean, he's not a joke. He throws very hard from both sides. And some of the players are going, I can't believe this. I think Joe Maddon or somebody said, I can't brush my teeth left-handed. And by the way, I don't think I could either, not with any effectiveness. You know?
Really?
Here's a guy with two thumbs in his glove, and he's going back and forth. It's brilliant.
It's wonderful. Ty Block is from Creighton. This kid is from Creighton as well. Vendetti. Is from Creighton. Yeah. He says that he was ridiculous in college. He was unbelievable. And he spoke very highly of him. And I wonder if you think he's got a shot. I know, of course, it's spring training. Who knows? But, boy, wouldn't that be an interesting, from the sales perspective, you know? Boy, who knows what it would look
like. Well, yeah. From a PR and sales standpoint, it's kind of a no-brainer for the A's. Whether he's actually that good, who knows? But I'll tell you what, if he keeps doing this all spring, they'd really have to seriously consider it. Especially, I mean, Doolittle, you know, he's coming back from a shoulder issue. Not that Venditti would close, but he could find a spot in the bullpen, and that would be wonderful. I'd love to see it.
I can't even say, boy, he's a lefty. He's also a righty.
He's a righty. He's a righty and a lefty.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's been a... There's never been in the big leagues a guy who did this, you know, consistently. There have been people who did it. Greg Harris did it very briefly.
Right.
Back in the 19th century, there were some guys who did it briefly. But there was one guy, I think his name was Tony Mullane, born in Ireland, who threw both ways routinely, and he solved the glove issue by not having a glove. He'd hold the ball. He didn't have a glove. He'd hold the ball in his two hands, and the hitter had no idea which way he was going to throw it. This is like 1870 or something. It's fabulous.
I love it. Great story. Hey, you wrote a very touching piece about Mike Kruko today. Kruko is here. What was your impression of talking with Mike?
Oh, you know, it's always the same. I mean, whether he was playing or just breaking into broadcasting or now that he's severely impaired, it's always the same. The conversations are just fantastic. He's hilarious. He's full of life. He's absolutely stoked. It's definitely not an act. Like you said, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. You know what I mean? He told some very funny stuff. So did Kuiper. And those guys are so priceless. And I just figured, you know, Giants fans are probably wondering about this. You know, he has trouble going anywhere. He has trouble doing anything. You know, does this mean he can't travel? But it's looking like he'll be in for the long haul this season and for seasons to come, hopefully. So that's kind of where I was at. But, boy, it was sure fun to talking to him.
Yeah, it was, and you wrote a nice piece about him. I think the best line in the whole thing, you know, they're going to wear tuxedos on ring ceremony night. And Dwayne says, well, if he falls down, I'll fall down, and people think it's part of the act.
So, yeah, isn't that great? Yeah.
I thought it was great. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much. You're coming over this way tomorrow. I know you're over in Mesa today, and we'll see you over here tomorrow.
You certainly will. Look forward to it, Marty.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Thanks. That's Bruce Jenkins. As we look through the window of baseball for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice.